Devotional Meditations on the Questions of Jesus. Ever heard someone say, "That's a good question"? As I read the questions of Jesus, I was constantly saying, "That's a good question, and it deserves an honest answer." I'm Don Harris. Join me now, and together we'll examine the questions of Jesus. Question 63. Have you not read, "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob"? Matthew 22:31-32. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, "I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob"? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Probably the most inexplicable position is that of the anti-Semitic Christian. There are those who take on this ridiculous prejudice as their own, and some who just mentally separate Jews and Christians as two different sects altogether. The anti-Semite is not likely a person fully familiar with the love of Christ. Unfortunately, one with segregated views, or one who can mentally erect a wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, is more common than one might think. Paul made no such distinction. We may read in Galatians 3:26-29, "For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. There is neither Jew nor Greek, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise." The book of Romans was written to folks that were ready to dispense with all Jews as enemies and raise Christianity up as founded upon Christ, forgetting the past Jewish history. This may not set well with many Christians today either, but our salvation is not founded upon some new Christian covenant, but rather founded upon the first covenant with Abraham.
Recently, Don finished putting his book On the Questions of Jesus in audio format. It's a real joy to hear Don share these insights from the questions of Jesus in the Gospels. It's not your normal audio book, and it's more than just a time of teaching. It's a personal sharing time that really takes you into a deeper understanding of the Messiah and the things that Jesus wants to share with us. Don, why don't you take a moment and talk about the recording of On the Questions of Jesus?
Thanks, Ted. I was amazed at how much work there was involved in recording this book into audio form. I was also amazed at how much fun it was. It was a joy to read the book again. Something that an author doesn't do very often is to read his own book. But this forced the issue, and I found myself blessed again by the self-same Spirit that revealed these things to me many years before. I told my wife just yesterday, I believe that On the Questions of Jesus will end up being my best work. Let me confess something to you. On the Questions of Jesus is not what it seems. As you read the book, there is a message underneath every one of those messages. It became very clear to me, again, as I read it into audio form. That message is the message of my life, that we have one shepherd, the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah himself, the Son of God, is our shepherd, our teacher, our guide, our friend. And hopefully it will occur to you that there is one trustworthy guide, not Don Harris, not any evangelist, not any Bible teacher, only the Spirit of Yehovah himself. The Spirit that was and is to this day in Christ, the Spirit that is in you. When I finished the audiobook, first thing I did was send it to my friend Ted. Let him listen to it and say, "What do you think? Because we're going to produce this." Ted, introduce yourself and tell our audience what you thought of the audiobook.
I'm Ted Ramp. I'm a friend of Don's that loves our Father, Yehovah, and his Son, Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah. I've had the opportunity to talk with Don many times and to get to know him and his deep desire to love and live for Yehovah. Don's book has really been a blessing to me and my family. Several years ago, I did a similar study seeking to better understand Jesus and was searching out all of his questions. So when I got a hold of On the Questions of Jesus, it was a personal continuation of a deep study to grow in Jesus. As you listen to this program, I pray that you'll be encouraged and challenged to dialogue with our Savior and Messiah. If you would like, you could purchase Don Harris's book entitled On the Questions of Jesus for $30, which includes shipping and handling. Just call toll-free at 888-578-7867. That's 888-578-7867. Or write Questions of Jesus at AOL.com. That's 888-578-7867. Or write Questions of Jesus at AOL.com.
Our salvation is not founded upon some new Christian covenant, but rather founded upon the first covenant with Abraham. It's founded upon the promise made to Abraham centuries before the sacrifice that made salvation possible. We cannot separate from Jewish culture, for we've been adopted into it. Paul asks, "What then? Are we better than they?" No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they're all under sin. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Jesus confirms the connection to Israel when talking to a Samaritan woman about salvation. He had no problem telling her, "Ye worship ye know not what." We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Though salvation would be impossible without the Messiah, Jesus, its plan is based upon a covenant made between Yehovah and Abraham. As a matter of fact, this salvation plan we cherish did not even include the Gentiles initially. We're being used as a lever, a tool, an example, if you will, to provoke the Jew to jealousy. God has adopted us into his family to antagonize his Jewish children to follow him again. We cannot get this wrong. We are only default winners of a contest. We were given first place only because the real winner did not claim the prize. We're as stepchildren gaining the inheritance because the true children were cut out of the will. We need not boldly claim a place in this kingdom. It was never intended for us. We need to accept humbly the opportunity given us, gracefully, thankfully, and not be so stupid as to say, "I will worship God as I please. All that Jewish stuff is for the Jews. We need not encumber ourselves with their religion. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon his name." The entire book of Romans is an interesting read. Paul tries to convince the Gentiles to take up the law and the prophets, the forefathers, and the family of God, and the entire Jewish nation as a whole, as their own. He tries to convince them that they're grafted into a Jewish vine, an olive tree whose roots are planted in Jewish soil. But he even warns the Gentiles not to brag about being grafted into this tree from which branches were broken off that we might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Most Christians know little about the Jewish religion. The Jews are only known as the ones who rejected Jesus as Messiah, the ones who crucified the Lord, or as members of a strange old world religion. We must realize that the Jewish faith in God comes from the same scriptures we carry along with us. Most Christians today do not even read the Old Testament, considering it a book for the Jews. Jesus never condemned the Jewish faith, but cherished it. He only condemned their traditions that were not based in commandment. He condemned their concern for how they appeared to each other. He condemned their lack of concern for each other, their hypocrisy, their arrogance, their unbelief. But are there any Gentiles without these problems? We must not erect walls between the Jew and us like the Romans were trying to do. These attitudes and actions are based in pride, a motivation also condemned by Christ. There are, however, thousands of years of history available through the Jews. Theirs is a culture rich in heritage and deep commitment toward the same God we serve. Why don't we want to know more about the Jews' calendar, their holy days, their writings, their family names? Can we recognize names found in Scripture as they're known today? Why do the Jews worship like they do, and why do they believe what they believe? What do the holy days mean to them or to us? Today, Jesus would likely look at our worship, our holidays, our songs, our teaching, all devoid of Old Testament heritage, depth, and richness, and say, "Ye worship ye know not what." Please do not infer from this advice that we should follow Judaism. Although some have accepted Christ, their religion, as a whole, rejects Jesus as Messiah, and therefore is foundationally flawed. But, in some ways, they love and follow the God of the Old Testament with a love and respect that is missing among us who have received His Son as Messiah. We could learn much from the Jew. We must know what we worship. The Jew could tell us. But most of all, if these walls were not built, the Jew could gain much from us. Israel has been made blind, so that God might redeem us Gentiles. In that way, we are responsible for the blindness in the Jews that causes us to distrust and even despise them. We as Gentiles need to realize that we share in the responsibility. We need not despise anyone. If we have a problem with the Jews, we have a problem with Christianity. Christ was called the King of the Jews, and so He was. If we have a problem with the Jews, we have a problem with salvation. For, as Jesus said, salvation is of the Jews. If we do not respect the Jews, how can we respect the Scriptures? Because that unto them were committed the oracles of God, Romans 3:2. Everywhere we look, the history of Christianity and the Jewish faith are identical. Does the root bear us, or do we bear the root? Who is this God we serve anyway? Jesus would answer, "Have you not read? I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob."
Ours is a quest to learn of our Messiah and His Father, Yehovah. Jesus asked questions of the people in the Bible stories to fulfill the will of God, and that was, as it remains with us, to bring the chosen ones closer to His Father. With this devotional, you can experience a daily exchange of thought with the Christ of the Bible. If you would like, you could purchase Don Harris's book entitled On the Questions of Jesus for $30, which includes shipping and handling. Just call toll-free at 888-578-7867. That's 888-578-7867. Or write Questions of Jesus at AOL.com.
Thank you for joining us. This is Don Harris inviting you to join us again next time as we examine the next in the series from the book On the Questions of Jesus.